a praise. Tell them thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy when it's going well. You're worthy when it's going bad. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're great and greatly to be praised. You're awesome in all your ways. Thank you, Lord. You're the great I am. Thank you, Jesus. The great I am. Thank you, Lord, which means he can take care of you and me and everything in between because he's the great I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We give honor to all that honor is due. We respect you all in your respective places. We thank God for being saved and on the Lord's side. We thank God for being here today. Amen. Summer has unfortunately come to a close. We are creeping into fall, into the next season. Amen. I don't mind fall. I kind of like fall. Amen. There's only one season I don't really care for too much. Well, spring, it rains a lot too, but there's new beginnings in spring and all that. I guess I would go summer, then fall, but I just thank God for the change of the season. I just thank God for what God is doing. He, with all the changes in our lives, he changes not. Amen. He's our constant. He's our steady. Amen. I guess what you look for in everybody that you come across is that you find out who they are and you expect them to be who they are. Amen. I can deal with you if you are who you are. Amen. And we thank God for who he is. He changes not. He just keeps on doing great things. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about trusting the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. And today, I won't be before you long. I just want to talk to, you know, those of you, you probably know by now, but a couple of my favorite verses in the Bible are on that wall back there, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I guess these verses speak so loudly to me because if I was to give instruction or give advice to someone who had just accepted the gift of salvation, if they had just accepted Christ in their life, you know, a lot of times, you know, we do that and then it's like, now what? What's next? Well, if I was to give anybody advice about what's next, I would bring them to these verses. But not only people that have just accepted Christ in their life, but also us that have done that many years ago and that have been living this life. We're running our race and we're having our ups and our downs and we're having our highs and our lows and we're going through our peaks and our valleys. Even us need to be reminded about trusting the Lord with all your heart. Amen? Because what happens is life starts going and we get on that, it's kind of like that hamster on the spinning wheel there. We just start going with life and we just start running and different things come at us and we don't take the time to stop and think. Amen? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but ask yourself that question this morning. As I sit right here in this place on this Sunday, on the 8th of December 2019, do I really feel like I'm trusting the Lord with all of my heart? Can I truly say it's all the way yes? All the time, yes. Because trust is a funny thing. Through the course of our day, we trust in so many different things we don't even think about. right? But when trouble comes, or when challenges come, or when things come before us that we weren't ready for, can we still trust? Amen? Another thing that gets us in trouble is that we are people who like to fix it ourselves. Amen? We like to think that we're pretty smart about things, that we have the strength, that we have the mindset, that we have the learning, we have the courage, we have all the things to fix it ourselves. And many times, we make things worse by trying to fix it ourselves. Amen? Be mindful of the conversation that's going on in your ears and who's speaking to you. Amen? Because the enemy will encourage you and say, you got this. You can do this. You don't need God for this. Don't trouble him for this. You got this. You know the word. Well educated in the word. Been around a long time. Been saved a long time. You don't need no help here. You got this. Well, I can tell you, if that's the conversation, it ain't coming from God. Amen? Because God don't care how much scripture you know. He doesn't know how well, he doesn't care about how well educated, what school you went to. He doesn't care about how long you've been saved, who your daddy was, or where you came from, or what your title is in the church. He doesn't care about anything like that. All God cares about is that you are in total dependence on him. Well, Lord, I've been doing this a while. I don't have to be totally dependent on him. Yes, even you need to be totally dependent on him. Now, I don't know if you all heard, but in my readings, I come across this guy. You may have heard of him. Blondin is the name. And I thought about this trust thing with Blondin. Blondin was a 19th century acrobat. He was famous for his tightrope act of 160 feet above Niagara Falls. How many have been to Niagara Falls or at least seen Niagara Falls? Okay, 160 feet above Niagara Falls, he did a tightrope act on a rope which was over 1,000 feet long. And in 1860, a royal party from Britain saw Blondin cross the tightrope on stilts. Stilts. Y'all know what stilts are? Can you picture it in your mind? Stilts? On the rope. True story. I mean, I'm just, you know, went across on stilts. And then he went across it again blindfolded. He's 160 feet on the air going across on a tightrope, all right? Did it on stilts, did it blindfolded. After that, listen to this. After that, he stopped halfway across, cooked, and ate an omelet. Hey, I'm not, you know, I'm just, this, you know, I wasn't there, but that's what they said, right? Stopped halfway, cooked, and ate an omelet while on the rope. Next thing he did, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other and returned with a sack of potatoes in it. Put them across the rope. Now, the royal party that was there, they saw these things that he did. They were there. They didn't. It wasn't something that somebody told them or you know, they read about. I mean, they actually saw him do these things. So after they saw him do these different things, he approached the royal party and he asked the Duke of Newcastle, he said, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" Well, they just got done seeing him do it on stilts. They saw him go across halfway and cook an omelet and eat it. They saw him take a wheelbarrow across. So they asked him the question. They said, and he said, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" And they said, at this point, I believe, you know, they're like, I definitely believe you can take anything. I mean, I've seen it. So he says to them, "Okay, hop in." Well, now you're talking a different story, right? Now, there was no, at this point, that he had their faith. In other words, I mean, they saw him do it on stilts. They saw him cook an omelet and eat it. They saw him take a wheelbarrow and bring back potatoes. They, you know, they saw all these things. So when he asked them, "Do you believe I could take a wheelbarrow over, a man over in a wheelbarrow?" They said, "Yeah, I believe." And he says, "Hop in." They said, "No, not me." Right? There was no doubt in their mind that he could do it. They just weren't willing to be the one in the wheelbarrow. Amen? He believed that this Blondin dude could do those things, but he wasn't about to trust him with his life. And when it comes to God, this kind of believers who will trust him with their lives. Amen? That's why there's a difference between, a lot of people believe, a lot of people have seen God do many great things, have seen many miracles. And if you ask them, they believe. But when you ask them, "Okay, now hop in," "Well, no, not yet, not me." Right? But God wants us to trust him with our very lives. And when you look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is what we're going to concentrate on today, again, I've said it many times, but two of my favorite scriptures, because it just gives you right now instruction. Amen? Everyday instruction. See, there's all kinds of preachers in the world. There's preachers that can preach a message, and they're so eloquent with their words, and they're so good, or some of them are very enthusiastic, and some of them are low-key, and it takes every kind of preacher in the world to get the messages across. Amen? I don't want you to just enthuse me. I don't want you to just get me excited and get me. I want to be able to walk away with something that I can apply in my life as soon as I get out that door. Amen? And when I look at these verses, I always feel like this is something that we can always remind ourselves of that can help us right away. So we're going to go through the verses clause by clause. So there are four headings. Four headings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number one, right? Lean not to your own understanding. Number two. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Number three. And he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Number four. Amen? So let's look at the first one. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The call on the Christian or the Christian is to have the sort of trust that makes us prepared to put our entire lives into God's hands. Simply believing in God is not enough. We are to have faith and trust in the practical outworking of our faith. Faith is great. It's impossible to please God without it. But we must trust God in the practical outworking of our faith. Faith in God sometimes seems like a nebulous concept. It's hard to pin down exactly what it means. It's hard to know whether we really have faith. Amen? You may have been asked the question a time or two in your life, do you have faith? Or where is your faith? Or what kind of faith do you have? We can understand trust, though. After all, we find ourselves having to trust people every day. We trust whoever built our house that it's not going to fall on our heads. We trust the bank with our money. We trust whoever designed our video recorder that when we set the timer, it will record the program that we want. Amen? When we travel, we trust that the mechanics that worked on the plane before we got on it did what they had to do so that we can get to where we have to go and get back. We trust a lot of people doing a lot of things every single day. Trust is the practical outworking of our faith. It is when we trust God that we show that our faith in Him is real. The call here is not to piecemeal trust in God. No, it's to have a complete trust in God, trusting Him with our whole lives. We are not to pick and choose places that we trust Him, but we are to trust Him with everything that we have. From the moment that we wake up to the time that we go to sleep, we are to trust God with everything all throughout our day. We can't pick and choose areas of our lives that we're going to trust God. I'll trust you with this, but I can't trust you with this. I'll trust you in this area, but I got this area myself. I don't need no help here. We are to trust Him with our faith. The Christian who has put his or her faith in God has to get into that wheelbarrow when God challenges us. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen? How can we do that? What's something that we can do to help us to trust God with all of our hearts in every situation that we come across, in all of our circumstances, with all of our challenges? When we think about our prayer life is a way that we can increase our trust in God with all of our stuff. Amen? And when we think about prayer, a lot of times when we think about prayer, we think about being in a specific place for a specific time. You know, a lot of us will pray before we go to bed. We'll pray when we wake up. We have our prayer time. Amen? This is my prayer time. This is when I get before the Lord and I go to Him in prayer. And that's fine. That's good. Amen? Because what God, the way we build trust and the way we build relationship with God is by talking to God, being in constant communication with God, just like you build relationships with each other the same way. So it's all right to have a prayer time, a dedicated time to be set apart, but if you want to increase your, if you want to help yourself get to where you're trusting Him in every facet of your life, start talking to Him all throughout the day. That's prayer too. Amen? In other words, you can have your prayer time, but when you leave the house and you get into your vehicle and you get ready to go wherever, Lord, I pray that you would get me to where I need to go, to get me to work safely, Lord. And Lord, when I get there, Lord, help me to have the right attitude, regardless of what happened this morning, regardless of how much sleep I got last night. Lord, help me to have the right attitude when I get there so that no matter what comes my way, I can deal with it properly and I can glorify you, Lord. Amen? And then you get to work and you start dealing with people and you start dealing with challenges And while you're dealing with people and dealing with challenges, while you're at work or while you're at school, Lord, help me through. Help me when I go into this meeting, Lord, help me to get what you would have me to get out of it. Help me to give the input that I need to give, Lord. Help me to not be aggravated by some of the crazy, stupid things that these people want to do all the time. Lord, just keep talking to him throughout the day. Lord, help me to, as this professor or this teacher is teaching this lesson, help my mind not to wander, but help me to be able to focus and to hear what they're saying so that I can absorb it, so when it comes time for me to take a quiz or take a test, that I'll remember what it is that they went over so that I will excel on the test. Amen? And Lord, even as you're going to lunch, Lord, I thank you. You know, get into a habit of being thankful. So talk to God throughout the day and get in a habit of stopping every now and then throughout the day and just find something to thank him for. You could be having the worst day. You could be having all kinds of problems in your life. There may be things that are troubling you that are out of your control, but you can stop and say, Lord, I just thank you for the things you've done in my life. Lord, I thank you right now. I'm thinking now, Lord, the challenges that I'm worried about, the challenges that are concerning me, Lord, and I'm giving it in your hands right now, Lord. I'm not going to try to fix this. I can't do anything about it by worrying. I'm just going to give it to you now, Lord, and I'm thanking you in advance for how you're going to work things out. Lord, I want to stop right now in the middle of my workday and thank you for my children. I don't know where they are right now. I don't know what they're doing, but I just thank you for my children. I thank you that you watch over them. I thank you that you keep them from hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, you see what I'm saying? We can have these conversations with God all throughout the day. And that will help us to trust the Lord with all our heart in all of our situations. Now, the second thing says, lean not to your own understanding. And we struggle with that sometimes, right? Because we all think we know something, right? We all think that we know a little something. Amen? One problem is we all think something. We all, from time to time, have thought, we know better than God knows. No, I would never say that, right? I would never say I know better than God knows. You don't have to say it. Your actions say it. It may not come out of your mouth. Amen. You might be afraid to ever say that out of your mouth, but your actions speak it loud and clear. When you're trying to fix your problems, you're trying to take care of everything and not including God in your situation. Basically, what you're saying is, I got this. I don't need your help. I know more than you about this situation. All of us are tempted in the manner of verse 7 to do not be wise in our own eyes. We think we know better than God, but the reality is, like Adam and Eve in the beginning, our wisdom and understanding is weak, crooked, reliable. It's like a worm-riddled walking stick. If you lean on it, we persist in trying to do things our own way, believing somehow that our ways are better than God's ways, that we know better than him. In terms of our illustration of Blondin, trusting in our own understanding is like getting halfway across the tightrope and then shouting, oh, Blondin, you don't want to do that. We leap out of the wheelbarrow and start trying to push it up 160 feet above Niagara Falls. I don't know if I would have gotten a wheelbarrow with him, but I'm certainly not going to tell him how to do what I've seen him doing on this tightrope. Amen? You might think that's crazy. We don't think we know more than God. We don't think we, but we do. We try. We do it all the time. We know better how to run our lives than God. We try to lean on our own understanding. We would do well if we were looking at Solomon as an example to us of the dangers of leaning on our own understanding. He started off brilliantly as a king by asking God for wisdom and then building the temple for him. At first, Solomon pleased God, but then he began to think he knew better than God. He acquired an army for himself and imported horses from Egypt. He accumulated vast amounts of silver and gold and built himself a palace even more opulent than the temple he just built. He had 700 wives and he began to oppress the people. Contravention of the laws for kings laid down in the king, Solomon was well aware. He simply lent on his own understanding, and the eventual result was the split in the kingdom of Israel and effectively the end of God's people as a whole nation. In the same way, if we persist in leaning on our own understanding rather than trusting in God with all of our hearts, then our lives will also end in ruin. What is the alternative to leaning on our own understanding? It is to lean instead on God's truth. God's ways are not our ways, so we need to learn them from somewhere. Just look back a little to Proverbs 2, verse 6, where it says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." This is a solid, reliable understanding that we can lean on, that we can build our lives upon. It is the understanding written for us in this book, the Bible, where the words from God's mouth come to our life. Lean not on our own understanding. Lean instead on the wisdom of God's word. As we daily read and understand his word, we will be learning to think his thoughts and not ours. And that will help us as we seek to trust him with all of our hearts. We need to, just like I said, when we talk about talking to him throughout the day, we need to start giving him and trusting him each situation in our lives. We tend to want to just save the good ones for him, the big ones for him. Amen? I got this. I can take care of all this, but, you know, if cancer comes or if you know, somebody, if something I control, Lord, then we want to call on him. But what he wants from us is constant communication, constant dependence all throughout the day. That's why when you hear Brother Fred sometimes talk about boasting our weakness, God loves that, because what we're basically saying is, I am powerless, I am not strong enough for this, I am not able, I'm boasting in the fact that I'm not able, but God is. See, when we boast in our strengths, it's almost like telling God, I got this, I'm good here. Take care of this over there, but I got this over here. No, he wants to be a part of all of it. Because guess what? If where you're strong, he can make you stronger. And where you're weak, he can help you there too. Amen? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And then the third one is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The emphasis in this clause is not so much on acknowledging God, which is pretty much taken for granted, but on the all your ways part, in all your ways or in all your circumstances, acknowledge him. Running right through the lives of many people in churches today is a wall. Amen? A wall that separates Christian life from secular life. What I do in church and what I do outside of church. Amen? The so-called sacred secular divide. The sacred secular divide is the assumption that God cares about what I do on Sunday morning in church, but not on Monday morning at the office. It's the assumption that God cares about whom I give my money to, but not how I earn that money in the first place. It is the assumption that God cares which church I go to, but not which house I live in. It is the assumption that God cares about my Bible reading, but not about my television viewing, or my radio listening, or my podcast, or whatever it is I'm consuming. God, what you're doing here, and what you're doing outside of here. Into the secular and sacred divide. In other words, we kind of like it like that. We want to pick and choose what we want God in heaven. Amen? When I'm in here, I want God to be involved in all my stuff and do all that, but when I go to my various places, some places, no, you know, it's almost like, no, you can stay home. I'll be back in a little while. That's how we do God sometimes, right? Some of the things we do, some of the places we go, some of the things that we involve ourselves in, it's almost like we're telling God, lay down for a little while. I'll be right back. But God says, I'll be with you always. You know what? And it's whether you like it or not. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So be mindful of where you take them. Be mindful of what you're consuming. You know, if you're a Christian in here, you're a Christian out there. God passionately wants to break down that dividing wall and to be the God of our whole, for us to trust in him with all of our hearts. And this verse tells us how to do that. Acknowledge him in all your ways. The call is to take every part of our lives, every minute of our day, and to acknowledge that all of it is part of our journey with God. Amen? He woke you up this morning. You didn't wake up yourself. Amen? We all say, well, it wasn't our time. He will determine when your time is to go, and you don't know if that's tonight, tomorrow, or the next day, because nothing's promised to you. So give him all of your life, all your heart. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Not one part of our life should be secular. God's with us in the office. He's with us in the car when we drive. Woo! You know when that person cut you off and it really got you mad? Let's not forget he's in the passenger seat. Amen? Matter of fact, he's in the driver's seat. We're in the passenger seat. He is there with us when we pick our kids up from school. He's there with us when we're watching television or consuming whatever it is that media we're consuming. He's with us down at the pub. He's with us at the restaurant. He's with us wherever you may go. He's there. All of this is sacred, not just the church. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. We can get an indication of how well we are acknowledging God in all our ways by looking at what we pray for, what we are thankful for, and what we worry about. A coworker one time was moaning to a friend, complaining about his job, complaining about the boss, complaining about the different situations on the job, and he would constantly complain about his job. And his friend asked him one day, "Well, do you pray for your job?" "Not really." "Well, start praying for your job. And guess what? That can change too." Thanking God is another way of acknowledging him in all our ways. So we make a point as a family of saying grace before all our meals, not just as a ritual, not just thanking him for our food, but for all our blessings that day, whatever they might be. It helps us to acknowledge God in all our ways. It would be of great help to all of us that we take breaks throughout our day to just stop and be thankful for something. Amen? Because don't you think that our biggest problem is we get off track? We get so busy in our days that, you know, before you know it, the day's almost over and I haven't even thought about God. I haven't even thought about, you know, I've just been doing my thing. I've been working. I've been doing my job. I've been taking care of my kids. I've been driving to this place. I've been driving to that place. I've eaten twice so far today. I've done all kinds of things. But how much of that day has actually included God? So one thing we know is the days are not going down for you. They're going to continue to be like they are. So what you have to do is go down to yourself. Amen? And that doesn't mean you have to stop doing what you're doing. You may have a hectic day, a crazy day, but within that day, you can take a couple minutes and just pause and say, "Lord, in the midst of this day, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that I have a job. I want to thank you that I have a place to go home to. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you, Lord. You've given me the means to support myself and my family, Lord. I just want to thank you." Just get in the habit of taking thank breaks. Amen? They talk about praise breaks, but how about thank breaks? That's praising God. Praising God actually is saying thank you, Jesus. Amen? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Another indicator is the things you worry about different from the things you pray about. Are the things you worry about and the things you pray about? Let me tell you a lot of times we worry about money, but we rarely pray for it. The Apostle Paul was keen to break down this sacred-secular divide with his readers when he wrote this in Philippians 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I tell you what, if you take Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and combine it with Philippians 4 right there and read that every day, that'll keep you on good track. Amen? That's good advice right there. That's good instruction that you can actually live. the danger of persisting in the sacred secular divide is that we will be halfway in the wheelbarrow, if you will. And if you're on a tightrope, you don't want to be halfway in, do you? It's bad enough that you're in the wheelbarrow on the tightrope. You don't want to be halfway in and halfway out. The last thing is, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Total dependence in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your situations, all your challenges, all that life brings your way. Trust Him. Depend on Him and no one else. Lean not on your own understanding. I realize that you know a few things. I realize that life has taught you a few things. I realize that you know a little bit about what the Bible says, but in all of that, lean not to your own understanding and completely rely on God. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him in the small things. Acknowledge Him in the big things. In other words, make Him a part of every bit of your life. And with these things, we receive a promise at the end. That if we would do that if we would trust God with all our heart, that we would lean not to our own understanding, that in all our ways we would acknowledge Him, He says to us that He will make our path straight or direct our path. And isn't that all that we want? Just tell me where I'm going. Just tell me where I should be going. Just tell me what I should be doing, what I should be saying, how I should be, you know, maneuvering through this challenge in my life. Lord, take me through it. Show me what I have to do so that I can get a little farther down this race that you have set before me to run. It's a promise that with God's help, as we trust in Him, we will eventually reach the destination that He has in mind for us. How many know God has a destination in mind for you? You may think you know where you're going. You may think you know where you want to go. But God knows where He wants you to be and where He wants you to end up. And wherever He wants you to be is where you need to be. Amen? He wants us to get to that destination. He wants us to be to the point where we live in eternity of joy in His presence. How many want to get there? Amen. But this making our path straight is also a bit of a warning. It reminds us that our path in life is God's path, and His way may not be the way we would have chosen for ourselves. Amen? And sometimes we don't do so well with that. You ever prayed to the Lord about a certain situation and He starts answering your prayer, but it wasn't quite the way you had in mind? And you get a little uncomfortable? God's ways are not our ways, but whatever His ways are the right ways. Amen? So it may not work out or happen the way you think, but if it's God's way, roll with it. Amen? For the word tells us to enter through the narrow gate or the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only few find it. God's path is not always the path that we would naturally take. God's idea of a straight path is not necessarily our idea of a straight path. So the final element of learning to trust God and trust in God with all our hearts is being prepared to go wherever He is taking us. Look at somebody and say, just go. Don't ask questions. Just go. Don't try to figure it out. Just go. Follow God. He will not steer you wrong. It may not seem like the path of least resistance at the time, but looking back, we will always see that it was the straight path after all. Sometimes there will be insurmountable obstacles in our way, and we will start to question whether or not God brought us down the right path. And we will begin to doubt that this is the straight path that God is leading us on. But this is all part of the learning to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Removing the obstacles is His job, not ours. He will make your path straight. We often read in the biographies of great Christians of times past. They tried to follow where they believe God is leading, but huge obstacles loom in their way. Humanly speaking, the situation is impossible, but this is God's way of teaching us to trust in Him with all of our hearts. We need to trust His promise to clear the path before us. He never promised you that on your path it would do those things. But what He promised you, obstacle-free, that there would not be mountains, He never promised you those things. But what He promised you is that you trust in Him with all your heart, that He will take you through anything that stands before you. That's great if you trust in Him with all your heart. So be prepared to go where God is taking you to go. And be prepared to trust in Him to make the path straight. When we get into the wheelbarrow, we go where God wants to take us. So in closing, we just want to recap. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, get into the wheelbarrow. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't get out and try to push yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Make sure you are fully in the barrel and not about to fall out. He will make your path straight. Be prepared to go where God wants to take you. And trust Him to make the way clear. He is completely, 100% trustworthy. Give your life, give everything about your life, give every situation that makes up your life to Him. Let us stand.